Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla, producing single rose-like flowers continually from...
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Today, we're joined by Jill Corliss of Japanese company Sakata, an award-winning breeder of ornamental plants, sunflowers and vegetables. We'll find out about their sun patiens, plants which are ideal for all weathers. Our thanks to sponsor Sutton's of Torquay. I was very interested to see the posy carried by the Duchess of Sussex earlier this week at the Royal Variety Show. Flowers and foliage came from Brinsworth House in Twickenham. That's the residential and nursing home for theatre and entertainment professionals. They got 3 acres of garden down there for 36 residents. And Sophia from the bloomery, she went and gathered all kinds of things, rose hips, beech leaves, sea holly, that's a ringium, scabious seed heads, some grey leaves, cinerarias, and all those things went into the posy. I understand that Megan and Harry are sort of quite keen on British grown cottage garden flowers, that kind of thing. But there was a rather special Rose Westminster Abbey, described as brown beige changing to grey. How about that? It's supposed to be the same colour as the stone on Westminster Abbey and very popular with brides, apparently. In Holland 2 or 3 weeks ago, I saw that and several more that were introduced by Dutch grower Sasson. Be interesting to see how widely that's used in the coming years. The best news I can bring from the International Flower Trade Fair in Alsmeer in Holland is a pure statement of quality. I mean, the roses. They were the size of a brandy glass, some of them, on stout stems 3 foot high by the tens of thousands. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know what happens to those roses after the 4 days of trade showing, but I hope they go to a good home. But it's not just roses. I mean, there's every shape, colour and size of gerbera you could imagine, even with some which are pollen-free so that they suit the people who are suffering with hay fever. There were masses of Helleborus niger, Christmas roses, but they were in full flower in November. Patio peppers that grow in a column shape so that we can have them in pots on the patio, heart-shaped tomatoes, I mean that, so when you cut them in half, the cross-section looked, heart-shaped. 80 different cultivars of amaryllis and horticultural specialists from around the world. I mean, that's the place where you can really hoover up all kind of information and help from people who have specialised all their lives on one particular flower or plant of some kind. I mean, I was chatting to Steffi from Belgium, and she was describing how they grow amaryllis in the glasshouse soil as a cut flower for December, for Christmas. And it's the first time I've come across the idea that the heating pipes go through the soil when a bit of heat's needed, but also in summer, it's reversed and they cool the water. So the soil is kept cool and the amaryllis keep growing, and that way they produce more flowers per bulb. The detail that modern growers apply to cultivation really is quite remarkable. When it comes to the home gardener, then I think we're a bit slow to change. And I was interested to read in the RHS magazine, The Garden, this month, that they are exposing the myth of using broken pot fragments or gravel at the base of flower pots. It does not enhance drainage, they say. Water is retained by capillarity. We know that because we put plants on sand beds and they just draw up the moisture from the sand. In the bottom of pots and containers, there's a saturated zone in the compost called a perched water table, where the weight of water and gravitational pull are insufficient to allow this area to drain. And the RHS says, whether crocked or not, there will be a saturated zone, and by crocking, it just raises the saturated zone and reduces the amount of compost available for root growth, so your plants aren't going to grow as well. I mean, quite honestly, we've known this for years. Nobody in commerce will bother to put a crock in the bottom of a pot. For the home gardener, there might be one exception that proves the rule. If you've got quite a big, heavy clay pot and there's only one small hole in the base, then it could well be worth putting a piece of terracotta broken pot over that hole just to prevent the drainage hole getting blocked. I mean, it's likely if you're using a John Innes-type compost where 7 parts of the 12 in the growing media are heavyish soil, and that hole can be blocked, and then of course you get waterlogging in the container. But grit, crocs, please no. And please, TV gardening presenters, can you stop putting them in, because they're not really needed. Our guest today is Jill Corliss, who works in Holland for the Japanese company Sakata. They've brought us lots of really lovely flowering and edible plants. Jill, how are things in Holland today?
Things in Holland today are sunny, but rather breezy and a touch cold, but it is November and we have had a very long summer, so we do welcome autumn.
Well, when I was with you last week, I mean, it was almost like September, you know, beautiful sunny day and warm, yeah.
And the sun's shining, but you can definitely feel that the winter chill is coming on.
Now, Jill, can you set the scene for us a bit about Sakata? The company's recently celebrated its centenary, hasn't it?
That's correct. The company celebrated its centenary in 2013. The company was established by the first Mr. Sakata in 1913 in Japan, and the current headquarters are in Yokohama, not far away from where the first location was. Sakata is an independent breeder of pot and bedding plants from seeds and recently from cuttings, and also of cut flowers from seed.
It would be fair to say, Jill, that they're a leading international company.
Yes, absolutely. Sakata has, of course, it's one of the absolute leading breeders in Japan, and as well as being an ornamental breeder, Sakata actually is perhaps even better known in the professional world as a breeder of vegetable seeds. And actually, all the listeners who may enjoy broccoli will almost certainly at some time have eaten a Sakata variety.
So there we are, yes. It's the hands that feed.
Absolutely. Well, our current president, which is the third Mr. Sakata, likes to say that vegetables nourish the body and flowers nourish the soul.
And that's certainly true. We need both. Jill, I have to raise the subject of sun patients.
Yes.
I mean, any plant that has the name sun in, we tend to be attracted to.
Yeah.
But sun patiens has been a tremendous introduction, hasn't it?
It absolutely has. It got its name because New Guinea impatiens doesn't take the full sun very well. It likes to be in a sort of shady or half shady spot, and has a fairly short flowering time. The other type of Impatiens walleriana, is more for the sun, but since lots of disease issues came up with that, it sort of fell away from the market. Some Patiens is something completely different. It's a cross between normal New Guinea Impatiens and a local native sort that is only found and was found by Sakata's researchers in the highlands of Indonesia, which is where it grew. And what Sakata did was take that native sort from Indonesia with the absolute agreement of the Indonesian government, and they crossed it with normal New Guinean patients to create this wonderful hybrid, Sun Patiens, which is not only extremely good in full sun, but actually weather tolerant in both cool weather, warm weather, sunshine, rain. It's an incredible product that just keeps flowering and flowering. And actually, even though it's November now, we haven't had, I don't know how it is in your part of the world, but here in Holland, we haven't had the first frost yet. So our Sun Patiens are still flowering and looking great right now.
If you get into late summer and early autumn, that's when they really come into their own, don't they?
It really is. The advantage of their hybrid vigour is that they have really, really strong root systems. And when those root systems get going, those flowers start to come and that growth starts to come. And it's beautiful in the early summer and in summer, but as you say, after those holidays, when you get back from holidays and the garden can be looking a bit sort of less colourful, that's when Sun Pats really take off.
Yeah, I seem to remember reading that they had really big beds of them in China for the Olympics, and the effect of their growth, so much growth, that
yes,
they actually drop the temperature by a degree or two in really hot weather.
They do. Sun Pats have a couple of really really good attributes in that way. They absorb nitrous oxide and other nasties out of the pollutants out of the air, and they put out lots of nice clean carbon dioxide. And they also do, in some, I have to say, when temperatures are high, they can have that temperature lowering effect. Probably in our sort of northern European climes, we may not notice that as much. But they do have these environmental effects. And at the moment in Amsterdam, we have the a large section of Amsterdam Zoo actually planted with Sun Patiens. And the zoo, which is a botanical research area, was only prepared to take the Sun Patiens in if we could back up these environmental benefits that they have. So that's something that we're quite proud of. And the other thing that I think is really important to mention is that, as I say, the Sakata researchers took that natural material from Indonesia with the permission of the Indonesian government. And the Indonesian government actually worked on the early development of Sun Patiens. And right up to this day, every cutting of Sun Patiens, every plant of Sun Patiens that's sold, a royalty is paid back to the Indonesian government to help them to continue the biodiversity of that natural area in the Indonesian highlands that Sun Patiens came from. So we're rather proud of that.
Yes, I think so. I didn't know anything about that.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
You live and learn every day.
We certainly do. Apparently, we should be telling you even more, Peter.
And there are two kinds. You've got the vigorous series,
yes,
and the more compact series.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for the vigorous. You get one of those in a container or in the garden, boy, they make a show. I mean, I seem to remember you taking a photograph in the Four Oaks. I mean, that plant must have been nearly a metre across and
yes,
absolutely...
Yes, you couldn't get your arms around it, could you? No, but having said that, Peter, while we have the compact and the vigorous type, it's all rather relative. There's no such thing as a small sun patient. The compact sun patients are really ideal. It's also got to do with the habit of the plant, and the compact sun patients are really ideal for home gardeners and for their back gardens. And the more vigorous types do really well in landscapes and in public parks and what have you, because they really fill in very quickly.
Yeah.
But even a compact type through the year will definitely become a lovely big, fully flowering plant. There's no doubt about that.
And next year you're introducing a new colour. You know, I'm flipping through the pages of the catalogue here.
Yeah. We are, and I absolutely love it.
Now, how would you describe that? Is that a very pale lavender?
It's orchid blush, and yes, I guess it's a sort of, you could almost say like a sort of lavender blue. So it's a nice orchid colour, and it has a rather attractive, slightly lighter blush that comes across it, giving a little sort of bit of a bicolour look to the flowers as well, a little bit more interest. But it's amazingly floriferous. It just keeps giving flowers and giving and giving and giving, and the plants stay in nice round shaped mounding balls, as we like them to. I've had it in my garden because sometimes I'm a bit privileged and I can have them in the garden a little bit earlier than they appear in the garden centres. So I've had it in my garden since May of this year, and it's still flowering right now. Unfortunately, next year there won't be an impatiens trial at the RHS. Every few years they do have one, and in 2014. Which is with the last impatiens trial that was held, we actually won no fewer than four awards of garden merit from the RHS. And RHS visitors and members also get to choose their favourites. And Sunpatiens salmon colour also won the People's Choice that year. So,
and
yeah.
That's the award that I always go for.
You know,
the one that, yes, the ordinary gardening folk.
Yes,
judge. Yeah.
So we were rather pleased with that.
Jill, I have to be careful. We must have spent all of our time on Sunpatiens as much as I would like to. I mean, what about Cape Daisy? Ladies love daisies, it says here in the catalogue. What?
Ladies do love daisies. There was actually some psychological research and testing that was done, and that's that when you ask people to draw a plant or draw a flower, the majority of women and girls and women will draw that daisy shape. It was in America, but I can't imagine that British ladies would be so different.
And I see you've got Magic Sunrise amongst your osteospermums. Yes. So we've got another sun.
Yes, and that is a lovely combination of those sort of golden and ever so slightly orangey tinge that you see in a beautiful sunrise. So yeah.
You will do quite a lot with the petunias.
We actually have petchoas, and because we noticed, or our researchers noticed, that petunias, when it rains, tend to turn into a bit of a sticky mess the next day. You sort of get this spider's web over the top, and by crossing petunias with calibrachoa, which is a smaller flowered member of the same family, you actually come up with a wonderful product, and we've just got a new one coming up for next spring in the garden centres, which will be called Beautical, because it's beautiful, and it's got these lovely colours. It has the same size flowers as a petunia. It will look a lot like a petunia, but not the day after it's rained. The day after it's rained, Beautical will be bouncing back again, and there'll be no stickiness. There's less stickiness. The leaves stay nice and green and don't yellow as much as sometimes calibrachoas tend to do. And it's the most amazing rain performer. So as I know that in the UK, just as here in Holland, rain's one of the things we welcome and have to put up with in our garden. But those petchoas can really take it.
Well, now I have one each of, I think it's five colours of Beautical, still flowering, even though we've had Several degrees of frost, which has wiped out the sweet potatoes and the begonias.
Oh, really?
And yeah. The colours are really unusual, aren't they?
They are, aren't they? Yes. We've sort of given them sort of delicious names like caramel yellow and French vanilla. And one I really love, which is sunray pink, which has a lovely pink flower. And then talking about that sun coming up again, from the throat of the flower comes rays of yellow sun coming through. It's rather nice.
Now, we hope to give these something of a launch next June in the UK.
So, we do.
Yeah, I look forward to that spectacular display. But, Jill, before I leave you, you have another hat.
I do.
You work with what I call the June Trials. Is that the right name for them?
The Flower Trials is actually the correct name for them.
Oh, right. I stand corrected.
No. June Trials is fine. They're held in week 24, which is almost always the third week of June. And they are really the professionals' opportunity to have a look what's coming along. We as independent breeders, we breed new types, and we're constantly trying to improve things, not only improve characteristics for the consumers, but also make improvements that will make it easier for the growers to grow the plants. But there's a big chain, you know, from when we breed a plant to when it ends up in a garden centre and then in the back garden. There's about four or five steps of the chain along the way, from someone who makes a young plant and then another grower who grows it to a larger plant and the retailer and the whole chain along. And what we do is all the breeders open their doors in Holland, in two regions in Holland and one in Germany in week 24. And we give a little peek into what we're cooking in our kitchen and what growers can expect in the seasons after that. And it's a little bit like fashion. What we show in Flower Trials, you could sort of compare it a little bit to London Fashion Week. What we show will probably be 1.5 to 2 years away from actually hitting the garden centre. But it's important that those that are in between and are going to grow the plants see what's coming and can make their choices.
Yeah, I wouldn't be without that visit. I mean, really, if you're going to do the job as a communicator and equally if you're a grower or garden centre retailer, I think a visit to those trials at least every other year, and in my case every year, I always find lots of exciting things.
And we always are thrilled to see you, Peter. And, you know, whilst, as I say, those trials aren't open to the public, communicators such as yourself can bring over the message of the nice new things that they see into the public forum. So we really appreciate that.
Jill, I hope you'll send our thanks and congratulations to Mr. Carter.
I most certainly will.
And thank you for joining us. Look forward to meeting soon.
Thank you very much. As always, lovely talking to you, Peter.
Now, I've just had a birthday. Not telling anybody how many years or singing about it. When you get to my age, you need to start counting backwards. But I had a birthday card which had on it a really pretty picture of 9 allotments. And the middle one was down to lawn with the owner lying back in his deck chair while in the other 8 all the way round they were working away like mad. And inside the card there was a quote: "The man in the deck chair isn't getting ready for Chelsea and doesn't have a wood-burning stove." My family always say that I spend too much time sawing wood and out digging in the garden. But there you are. Brought a smile to my face. My thanks to sponsors, Suttons of Torquay, and, of course, my producer, Rich Jarman. And to you for listening. We'll be back next Thursday.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.